Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
At some point, it has to offend you to be close. We're not there yet. And when we get there, that's when we'll take a giant leap, I think, as a program. And so maybe you do have to continue to go through these lessons to get the message across.
And with that, let me be the first to say good morning to you from 93.7 The Fan, live and local from our Green Tree Studios. It is the early morning show. I'm Matt Cole, here with you to about 5:40 before the Fan Morning Show pre-show. It's the start of a new day brought to you by Greenbrier Treatment Center on this rainy, nasty, cold Thursday morning. And be careful on the way in today to work or wherever you're headed this early in the morning. Maybe you're coming home from an overnight shift. Be careful out there. Just wet and nasty as it's been for a couple of days. But hey, it's Thursday. We're in the back half of the week now. You can see the end is near. So let's have some fun this morning. Just talking sports here for these next 40 minutes. And I don't know if, you know, necessarily we can have some fun talking about what the Pitt Panthers' effort was last night because, well, it just wasn't very good. Pitt loses to Clemson 72-52 at home. Probably Jeff Capel's worst loss as the head coach of the Pitt Panthers because of the situation, because they were at home, because this team needed to really put things into gear here to make a run toward the NCAA tournament if they wanted to have those kinds of hopes for this season. And last night kind of killed most of those dreams. And watching that game, you could tell from the very beginning how good Clemson's defense was. Like forcing Pitt to run possessions down to the final seconds of the shot clock. And there were some heaves at the end of those possessions as the shot clock was dwindling down to 3 and 2 and 1, and I thought, oh boy, they need to adjust quickly here or it's going to be a long night, and it was. And predictably, as I mentioned in the update, Jeff Capel not happy afterward, and how could you be after a 20-point loss at home to an ACC team that's right there with you in the standings? He said his team was tired. I don't really care or, you know, that comment doesn't do a whole lot for me because everyone's tired at this point, young team or not. This is kind of the stretch run of the college basketball season. But here's a couple of things of what he said last night after the game. The first was about just growing up as a team.
Guys have to listen. They have to get over themselves. They have to, you know, understand the requirements that it takes to be really good. Consistently good, not good for a moment, you know, to become consistently good. And as a program, we're not there yet.
I just wonder who exactly he means there by getting over themselves and growing up. Because for me, Xavier Johnson and Trey McGowan's, I am concerned about them. I don't know if I'm frustrated by them. I'm sure Jeff Capel is times a million. I don't know if they have improved at all, really, from last year. And they're just, whenever I look at both of their games, there's one word that just comes to mind for me, and that's reckless. They just have a reckless game. They remind me a lot of Jamel Artis and Michael Young, even though they weren't guards, but they just kind of did their own thing and didn't really care about anything else. I'm not saying that Johnson and McGowan's don't care about anything else, but they're supremely talented. They just force things. They're bigger guards, so I guess they think they can drive the lane at ease and at will, and it just doesn't work. And it hasn't improved from last season. And so, I don't know. Whenever you've got guys like that at the top, it's hard to run an efficient offense whenever they're just doing their own thing and they don't look very good doing it. Like, driving the lane most of those times, they don't finish at the rim. Xavier Johnson only had 8 points. Trey McGowan's didn't get the double-digit points either last night. So that's concerning for them. McGowan's ended up with 7. And to lose by 20 at home here is definitely alarming. Jeff Capel saying that it bothers him maybe more than it bothers his players.
I won't sleep tonight. I was that way when I was a player. I often wonder if I had all these distractions, would I have been that way? But I, you know, the game and team has always been sacred to me, and I don't think I would have. And so we have to get to a point where this really bothers you, and you have to change it.
Yeah, not good. And again, not to continue to beat this to death, but I think that might be the nail in the coffin for the NCAA tournament. Now they might have to kick it into gear to even get into the NIT, really, for the rest of this regular season. And also, I like the concept of those black and yellow unis. They should have the circle logo with the bridges behind it, like Golden State, and have the Pitt script in the background or something. Spruce that up, because there's still some things left to be desired there with those uniforms. All right, let me transition over to this. The Pirates, they are in Bradenton now, or at least pitchers and catchers and some position players. And some interesting things coming from Pirates camp. So they held their first workout of the spring, and new manager Derek Shelton names Keone Kella the closer, and I'll get into a little bit more of that later as the show goes on. But the players are commenting already on how different the culture is, that it's so much more loose, that it's more fun. And Keone Kella kind of saying that without saying it really here in this clip.
It's something different, and I think that's what everyone wants. I think that's what the city of Pittsburgh wants, and I think even you guys want. You know what I mean? We want to change the narrative of everything.
And I think stronger comments come from Cole Tucker, who this was brought to us by Kevin Gorman of the Trib, saying it was just loose, Tucker said. It didn't seem like anyone was being judged about anything. Obviously, you're being judged by our play on the field. That's the game, that's the business, and it will never change. But just personally, the way we're interacting with each other is laid back and freed up, which is nice. As we know, baseball is a really hard game. It's even harder when you're insecure about what people might think of you. Right now, even at the very beginning of spring, these guys are all riding that line of complimenting Shelton and the culture that he's bringing and the atmosphere he's already bringing to the team, and stopping just short of killing Clint Hurdle and the old regime that was there. And that might ramp up to another level as the spring goes on. But it really makes me wonder, was Clint Hurdle running things like a drill sergeant here and really making everybody uncomfortable? Or is this just all talk? Is this just all positive talk about the new guys coming in here and just turning over a new leaf, as it were, for the Pirates organization? Like, how bad did things get with Clint Hurdle, where guys really didn't enjoy being on that team? I don't know if we'll ever get the full answer to that, but I have a feeling that more and more guys are going to speak out about what it was like last year as compared to this year, especially if it continues to be loose and fun with Derek Shelton. And I think it's mostly that Shelton just knows how to talk to you as a human being a little bit better. Like, I think he just has a little bit better personal and skills. And we'll see if it's still really fun and loose when they start to lose some games in the regular season. That will be really the test to keep that culture going whenever things start to go sideways, as they inevitably will once the regular season kicks off. And also, a final thought on the Pirates here is with Chris Archer. You may have seen the pictures of him cutting off his dreads, and there's a lot of talk about him being, you know, kind of the leader of this rotation, getting back to the old Chris Archer that Neil Huntington thought he was trading for whenever he brought him over from the Tampa Bay Rays. In my mind, if all goes well with Chris Archer this year, I think I've figured out what the best case scenario is. And the best case scenario is that he's traded at the deadline. The best case scenario for Chris Archer is that he plays well enough and pitches well enough that other teams will come calling for him at the deadline, and the Pirates are actually able to move him for a decent haul of prospects or whatever comes back the other way. He's got 2 years left on his deal. He's only 31 years old, so if he can have a respectable ERA through the first half of this season, you'd think teams would come calling. And he's not part of your longer-term rebuild. I mean, if he's got 2 years left and then he's a free agent, and he's already on the other side of 30, it would be a great sign if he was dealt, because that means that you got what you wanted out of Chris Archer at this point. I'm not really sure. I'm sure Neil Huntington had a vision in his head that Archer was going to be here for multiple years as part of at least a contending team here in Pittsburgh, but that's clearly not going to happen, and I think it would be best, the best-case scenario, Archer pitches well, gets traded, they get something back of value from him, and shed themselves of, the $9 million and then the $11 million option after that for next season. All right, coming up next, some changes coming in baseball. Speaking of that, I'll get into those things. And also, there was a Big Ben sighting last night. And no, he wasn't with Antonio Brown. I'll get into more of that in Big Deal or No Big Deal to wrap up the show. That's all next here on the Early Morning Show. It's the Early Morning Show here on 93.7 The Fan. If you're up up and at 'em this early, it gets late pretty early for us, and so we may miss some things from last night. Let's go over some of those things.
Time now for While Yins Was Sleeping on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
All right, the first, if you missed this from yesterday, Major League Baseball announced its changes and its new rules for the 2020 season, and so I'll go through some of these things here. And the headliner, and I guess the most controversial change here, is the three-batter limit for relief pitchers. So they must face at least three batters or finish the inning before being taken out of the game. And Rob Manfred has kind of pushed for this now, and the only way that it can be taken out in the middle of an inning without facing at least three batters is in the case of an injury, which the umpire crew chief would have to confirm. Not a huge fan of this, I'll be honest, but I think I kind of look at it as a necessary evil, because I despise the lefty specialist coming in for just one batter in the middle of an inning, and then you have to go through, he comes in, he warms up, and then he pitches maybe two, three, four, five, gets the guy out, or he hits a single or whatever, and then the manager comes trotting back out there, not even a trot, it's a walk, of course, as always, in the point, and then it's another 8 minutes or so until game action picks back up again. So I despise that. So if this is a necessary evil to it, I guess I'm okay with it, although I still don't love it. There's also roster expansion. Each team will add one player to its game day roster, increasing the number of active players from 25 to 26. So a little bit more options there on the bench. I guess I like that. Position players pitching. To cut down the number of position players taking the mound, the use of non-pitchers will be limited to games in extra innings or games in which one team is winning by six or more runs. So now there's qualifications as to whether you can bring out Adam Frazier to pitch on the mound, or that's probably not a great example because he might be starting most of the games for the Pirates. But I digress. I don't know. I don't like that either. I don't see why that's necessary to put any qualifications on when position players can pitch. If you're, if you feel like that is the point in the season in which you're at and you're down by a lot of runs, I don't know. I think that managers should be able to choose that freely. Also, the 10-day injured list, there's some changes there. That's for position players only. So pitchers and two-way players cannot be activated from the injured list for 15 days. And then the big thing, the other thing for me, is the video challenges. So managers will now have 20 seconds to decide whether to challenge an umpire's call when they previously had 30 seconds. So all these changes will go into effect with the spring training games on March 12th. So with the video challenges, I guess you're really going to see a mad scramble for, as soon as a play happens, to get on the phone, and you'll see the manager looking back at his bench coach frantically to try to get that challenge call in there in 20 seconds, even more so than it was before. So there's some changes in Major League Baseball. Also, let's go to the football world and let's go to the AFC North. The Bengals are going to work with Andy Dalton on a trade when the time is right this offseason, per a report. So that's per Ian Rappaport of NFL Network. So it seems like the Andy Dalton era is officially done in Cincinnati, or not officially, but is way toward that way. And looks like if it's not Joe Burrow, it's going to be somebody at the quarterback position at number one overall for Cincinnati. So starting a new era there, I guess, for the Bengals. And also in football and in the NFL, Jameis Winston, who put together one of the most remarkable seasons in NFL history for not all the great reasons, undergoes LASIK surgery to repair eyesight ahead of 2020 free agency. So who knows what his future is with the Tampa Bay Bucks, and if BA and the boys want to bring him back after his 30 touchdown and 30 interception season, which still blows my mind how he was capable of doing both things last year. But Arian said, quote, he can't read the scoreboard, but he can see the guys in front of him, so he's all right. Man, how did he go this long without fixing that problem if his eyesight is really that bad looking down the field? Now, I don't know if that's all can be attributed to his 30 interceptions. I don't think the guy is a franchise quarterback and he's that kind of material. And I think Bruce Arians would be right to kind of move on from Jameis Winston. I don't know how much he's going to get out of him, LASIK surgery or not, but incredible that he was playing with that poor of eyesight for how many years now, Jameis Winston. Jeez, we'll see if it makes a difference for him. All right, coming up next, big deal or no big deal, going through some Pittsburgh sports storylines to determine if it's something we should pay attention to or just kind of fluff it off. That's all next. The start of a new day brought to you by Greenbrier Treatment Center. It's 8 o'clock today on the Fan Morning Show. Craig Riley joins the show from Pirates pre- and post-game host, joins the show from Bradenton to talk a little Buccos. 8:30, Jamie Hirsch from NHL Network. She's a Minnesota native. She'll be able to talk about the Jason Zucker trade and the impact of that. So that's at 8:30 today. And then at 9 o'clock, dive into the Tom Brady nonsense in Boston and talk to Ben Volin from the Boston Globe to see what's going on with the people in Boston. Do they believe he's already gone? What's the deal here? What's the narrative? We'll get into the minds of the Bostonians at 9 o'clock today on the Fan Morning Show. But for right now, let's go. Big deal or no big deal.
Now it's time to play everybody's favorite sports radio game. Big deal or no deal.
Still got to fix that. All right, the first one. AB puts out an Instagram post apologizing to Ben Roethlisberger. Is this a big deal or no big deal here?
Not a big deal.
Yeah, let's get the official statement from one Antonio Brown. He says, in part, I never realized how good I had it. Got caught up in my emotion with everyone coming after me. I really apologize for my actions. That's what he said about Ben Roethlisberger, and it was kind of a continuation of what he said right here on these very airwaves, of course.
A guy like me, we had a real heart-to-heart and hash it up, but I just think too much stuff built up that it was too late. Do I hate Ben? No. Do I love Ben? Yes. Ben's a great guy, great person, great quarterback. And all the disappointment and frustration we had should have been hashed out. But when God's ego and emotions get involved, a lot of stuff goes different ways. Plus, he had Juju Smith-Schuster. I guess, you know, that worked better for him.
Yeah, of course, the shot there, Juju at the end, and I love, do I hate Ben? No. Do I love Ben? Yes. The apology tour continues for him. Now it's via social media because, you know, from his interview on these airwaves on the morning show that you just heard a part of, that's his brand. He has to run a business via social media. I do think that despite him saying he doesn't know if he wants to come back to the NFL in that interview, there are clearly moves here to get back in it, and I think this is another one. I don't think that it's even about Ben. I think it's about cleaning up his image nationally, and he can't expect Ben and the Steelers to come running back to him, and I'm not even sure if he wants that at this point. He just needs one team to. Like, he just needs one team to think, maybe he's turning the corner and take a shot on him. At this point, I'd love to hear more than the apology from Antonio Brown. I've already heard that. I'd love to hear the apologies for all those goofballs that came on the air nationally and said everything was Ben's fault last year around this time. That's the apologies I'd like to hear at this point. All right, the next one. Derek Shelton names Keone Kella the closer for the 2020 season after the very first workout in the spring. Big deal, no big deal here.
Not a big deal.
Can it ever be a big deal when the closer is named on a team that's destined to finish at the bottom of a division? Really? I mean, that's kind of what I come back to here. That's destined for a losing record. But maybe with a guy like Kella, who has been a little bit emotional over his career, he maybe needs some early confidence here from his new manager. And he talked about some of the feeling that Derek Shelton gave him after that announcement that he'd be closer.
As long as we get some wins and change the narrative of the Pirates baseball and the culture here, that's really what I care about, because I know that if I can help that and I can leave a resonating energy here that will continue to help him develop, then, you know, that's then I win. You know what I mean? And I did my part.
And maybe this early backing is different for him than other players. I also wonder how Kyle Crick feels about this as well, because something tells me he wants to be the closer and would love that job too. And you know how emotional he can be. All good fun for Derek Shelton to manage and to balance throughout the year. All right, Pirates Director of Sports Medicine Todd Tomczyk says Gregory Polanco will report healthy to camp this year. Big deal or no big deal here?
Not a big deal.
Todd Tomczyk said it's about managing his workload. Here's what he had to say about Polanco.
It's monitoring his workload and responding. Now, if you recall, the biggest challenge at the end of the season with Gregory was hitting. That issue has seemed to be resolved and rectified at this point, and we're excited to see where that plays in camp.
The hitting issue might be resolved, but for me, that's not the issue. If the issue is his arm could be 70, 60, maybe even 50% of what it was before the injury. Either way, his defensive prospects don't look all that great. Now, let's hope he can hit 25 to 30 bombs, because otherwise I don't think he provides much value at this point. And it's a good thing they got Jerod Dyson to cover some ground in center field, right? Maybe some to make up for some of his lacking. Big Ben showed up to the WVU game with Ryan Switzer and others looking like Big Ben with a giant beard. Big deal, no big deal.
Big deal!
Man, I love this. This was peak Ben. This was, I don't really care what you think, Ben. This is, I'm still here, Ben. Although, didn't he make a comment that he wasn't going to shave until he started throwing again? And I thought he was supposed to throw tennis balls. Maybe he meant footballs. I don't know. Doesn't matter. I don't care if Ben looks a little sloppy. I actually like this persona of Ben. This is, when I think about Ben Roethlisberger in my mind, I think of big bearded and big bodied Ben Roethlisberger. And I don't think that means that he's going to be any less of a quarterback when he comes back because he looks this way. I just think it has a lot to do with his elbow, of course. All right, a couple more. Mike Sullivan said the Pens were too cute on the power play against the Lightning, continuing their struggles of late on the power play. Big deal, no big deal.
Not a big deal.
Sully says shoot the puck. That's always the explanation when things don't go well here. They had an 0-for-11 stretch recently, and they haven't been all that great. Let's see if it changes with Zucker and if he stays on that unit and if he can provide a spark there. But that's the part of what you can accomplish with this last, month plus of the regular season that's left of improving the power play. And that's something that does need to be there for the postseason to kind of separate themselves. I just don't think it's all that big of a deal right now with still a month left to play. There's still a lot of time to figure out the power play. And I feel like it always goes through ups and downs, no matter how much talent is on that unit. And finally, Browns and Bengals fans have been denied of their medical marijuana. Big deal or no big deal? Yeah, this story from ESPN yesterday. You remember that they had an official proposal to alleviate the pain of being a Browns and Bengals fan. Well, that's all gone away because it has been ruled by the Ohio Medical Board Committee yesterday that it's just not enough. The condition requirements aren't enough to purchase medical marijuana. So a good thought from all of those fans out there, but like your football teams, you tried, you had hope, but you failed in the end. All right, a question of the day as I wrap up here on the early morning show. Can you see any scenario in which you would feel comfortable and be okay with Antonio Brown returning to the Steelers? There would be a lot that would have to happen, and maybe it's a crazy question to ask, but is there any scenario where you would feel comfortable and be okay with him being in black and gold again? Fan Weather is brought to you by Sun Chevrolet and McMurray. Get a sweetheart of a deal with Auto Show savings in February. Today, snow showers. That's this afternoon and a high of 38, and then tonight, clouds, more snow showers and colder, and a low of 17. Pre-show, next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.